ever found it hard to forgive someone? Ever struggled to work out what it means to forgive? Have you ever doubted whether you've actually forgiven someone? And you've had all those questions churning through your head. Have you ever been the one seeking forgiveness? And maybe you've wondered or doubted, have they forgiven me? Are things sorted out between us? Have you had those conversations with God? Seeking His forgiveness again and again and again. You know, and you're sitting on the edge of your bed and you're doubting, could God ever forgive me again? And maybe those of you who are a little bit older and you're driving absently in the car, you're sort of driving on autopilot and you're wallowing. It's too much this time. He couldn't possibly. I'm so unworthy. I am so not good enough. Dear God, you make yourself known to me in the scriptures. You are the mighty Lord of all creation. You made me. You made everybody. You made us in your image. You made us to rule your world, your creation under you. Oh, dear God, I keep taking control myself. I keep following my own sinful heart. I keep being sucked in by the tricks of the devil again and again. I know by grace that you save. By grace you save through your dear Son, Jesus the Mediator. I know through Jesus there is reconciliation, but God, I keep breaking your trust. I keep letting you down. Faith? Oh, I don't know whether I have it. Like, I love you. I'm thankful for Jesus. But then next minute, I'm just walking off the other way. It just doesn't always end in disaster, but day after day, dear God, I keep wandering off. In some part, I wander off on my own from you. What right do I even have to be talking to you? Your forgiveness, it must run out. Surely I've wasted your time. I've wasted your energy. This is the word that they need to hear. Justification. As a person there in the car is working through that prayer that I was just praying, those words, they need to understand justification. What is justification? Well, essentially it's a legal term. And what it describes is a sinner being pardoned from punishment. And not just pardoned, but being brought into right relationship. Okay, a legal term about a pardon and a restoration. And justification is a divine act. It's describing what God does in the life of sinful humans. How he takes them, he pardons them, he makes them acceptable before him. Romans 3 verse 24 that Megan read to us earlier. It says, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, guilty sinners are justified by faith in God's gracious gift of his Son. That's what we're talking about. If at the end of tonight you want to talk more, please come and do so. If you want to read more, go home and read Romans 1-8. Because really that's what it's talking about. It's giving the whole picture. A bit of pre-reading in the first three chapters. What we've heard read already in the end of chapter 3 and chapter 4. Talking about justification by faith. And then the application of it in 5, 6, 7 and 8. How is justification possible? So what we learn in these early chapters of Romans is all humans are sinful. Right? We've fallen short of the glory of God. If God is the one who justifies, how can a holy and righteous God pardon people from the condemnation that they rightly deserve? How can a holy and righteous God pardon people from the condemnation they rightly deserve and remain himself holy and just. See, to be justified, you have to be declared righteous. So think of a legal case, all right? Think of someone on trial. If they were declared righteous, the declaration says, you have no penalty to pay. And being declared righteous says, you are entitled to all the privileges of the person who has kept the law. Penalty paid, all the privileges. Now, who can hand down that verdict? Well, it's only the judge that can hand down that verdict, isn't it? It's the judge who can justify. Because he's the one who stamps the papers. Guilty, innocent. Guilty, righteous. God is the one who can declare us sinful people righteous. He's the one who justifies. And when God justifies someone, again, this whole three chapters at the start of Romans saying that we are all sinful and fall short of the glory of God, when God justifies us, our legal status is permanently stamped, the verdict cannot be overturned, and it says, reckoned righteous, considered righteous, sin forgiven, sin removed. It's a judgment. Justification is a judgment passed by God. And with it comes the gift of a new status, a fresh relationship with God. That then starts a new life, and we'll start looking at that from next week. But justification is simply the declaration of God the judge, one, saving people from their past, and two, securing their future. Can you think back to the prayer at the start, the person in the car? Can you start to see why justification is the answer to that prayer? Is the thing that they didn't understand? Justification pardons me from sin. It ends my exposure to God's wrath and punishment. I am reconciled to God. So if you go down to chapter 4 of Romans, verse 7 and 8, Paul says, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Blessed is the one who is justified. And if you go down to chapter 5, verse 1, where Paul starts to explore what it means to be justified. He says, since we've been justified by faith, what do we have? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through him, we've also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have peace. We're no longer sinners at war with God. We are right with him, and we have the hope of what is to come. So justification gives me a new status, a new title. I'm now heir of the kingdom, the Son of God, because I have peace with him, because my sin is pardoned, and I have the hope of glory. He will declare me right. And one of the great things for us is that justification says the verdict is, the end time verdict is here now. The verdict of justified is God's last day judgment brought forward into the present. So the guy in the car wasn't sure, was he? I haven't performed well enough. Maybe I'm not really right with you. Justification says, no, it's done. And so in chapter 8, verse 30, Paul writes, those whom God justified, he also glorified. If he's justified you, he's already glorified you. You are already there in the end time place. It's guaranteed. The papers are marked, the verdict is sealed. That's why he can end chapter 8 from verse 31 onwards, assuring the justified person that there is nothing on earth, nothing in the heavens, nothing anywhere that can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal security. Even when I am wallowing in my struggle with sin. And the reason is, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. Now, these are the words from an old hymn. So don't think I've all of a sudden become a poet and a lyricist and come up with really cool words. Someone else came up with them long ago. It's about Jesus, his blood, and his righteousness. My beauty are my glorious dress. Jesus' blood and righteousness, his blood, his death, his righteousness, his rising to life, they are what clothe me. And so mid flaming worlds, in these arrayed, in these I'm dressed. And so with joy I can lift up my head. See, the heart of justification is the blood and righteousness of Jesus. Now come back again to chapter 3 of Romans, back to verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yet we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now to redeem something is to pay a price, to buy it back. God, verse 25 tells us, God put Jesus forward as a propitiation by his blood. Which means Jesus was the buyback price. We were not righteous. He was righteous. We were deserving of punishment and condemnation. He was innocent. And of course, we've got God the judge standing there. And he must be just. So how can sin be removed from the guilty, God still be just? Well, it's only if the innocent pays the price. And the innocent one is the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. He pays the price in his death so we can be reckoned righteous. He takes our place and he gives us a new place, a new status. My beauty are his glorious dress. Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds, in these arrayed, and with joy shall I lift up my head. Bold shall I stand in that great day, on the day of judgment. And none can condemn me, try who may. Fully absolved, through Christ I am, from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. This stainless robe, its beauty wears. And when all else fades in passing years, no age can change its glorious hue. Most of these things, if you find them, they have a yellowy tinge to them. Jesus is one, it doesn't change. The robe of Christ is ever new. And so when from the dust of death I arise to claim my home beyond the skies, then this shall be my only plea, that Jesus died and he lives for me. And so shall the dead now hear your voice. That's not just those in the grave, but that's sinners, those who are apart from Christ. Let those once lost in sin rejoice. Their beauty this, their glorious dress, Jesus, your blood and righteousness. That's what the person in the car needed. That's what you need to know as you sit on the bed wallowing. I've done it again and again and again. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Paul says Jesus was delivered up for our trespasses, for our sins. Right? He was delivered in his death. His death, it was the death of sin. And he was raised for our justification. All right, the raising up of righteousness, of right with Godness. In his resurrection, Jesus conquers death. He's raised as the ruler of the world and the giver of new life. See, he's the Christ, the King, the Judge. How can God be just and justify the wicked? By bearing on the cross our sin himself. And granting us his right status. If you want a big word, use imputation. Imputed righteousness. He's given us his right standing with God. And he gives us new life in his kingdom. And he can do that because who's the ruler of the world? Who's the king? Who's the judge? Jesus. And what did he do for us? He died on the cross. So he's the one who can forgive us, isn't he? He's the one who can make us holy and pure and perfect and right with God. It's pretty easy, really, isn't it? You can work it out by the time we're in kindergarten. But our heads keep thinking, and this is what Matt was saying before, I've got to be good enough. And we'll come to that in a sec. Friends, in Jesus' resurrection and through his death, justification is offered to all. Right? This glorious dress, not literally, but in the image-wise, is offered to you. So how can I be justified? That's what Romans 4 is all about. How can I be justified? By faith. And Abraham is the example. Obviously, we live after Christ's death and resurrection. Abraham lived before it. But the way that we're justified is exactly the same. Romans 4 verse 2, if Abraham was justified by works, by what he did, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Prayer in the car was a justification by works. I have not worked well enough. I can't be accepted. Justification says we are justified by faith. Now, having faith does not justify. Faith is not something to be commended for. You know, like, well done, old chap. As long as you keep believing, I'll keep the papers marked justified. No. Faith, as we heard last week, is an outstretched empty hand that receives. Empty hand. And so in the example of Abraham, God spoke to him. He made promises to Abraham. They were outrageous promises, given his age and stage of life. But Abraham, with empty hand, received the promises of God. He trusted God. And when we rest our soul on God's gracious promises in Christ, we are justified. So Jim gave this to us last week. Forsaking all, right? Emptying out the hands. I've got nothing in my hand to bring. Forsaking all, I trust him. I trusted that death was sufficient, that he did it all. So come with me to verse 18 of chapter 4. We'll see how Paul explains it in the life of Abraham. In hope, Abraham believed against hope. He believed, even though it wasn't what he could reasonably be expected, he believed that he should become the father of many nations, as he'd been told. And he didn't weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. You're going to be the father of nations, mate. You're 100 years old, you've got no kids, and your wife's only a few years behind you. But you're going to be the father of many nations. We look at ourselves, and we look at our lives. And we're told, can you be right with God? And you look at your life and go, well, I'm a sinner. I can't be right with God. I can't be right with a holy God. The promises of God in Christ is yes, we can. No unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God. There's plenty of opportunity to waver in our thinking, isn't there? We want more promises from God. We want present promises from God. Or we doubt his promises because we know our own lives. We doubt his promises because we try and try to make life a game of reward for effort. But Abraham, he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That's why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. And God, in his kindness to us, verse 23, had the words, "It was counted to him," written not for Abraham's sake alone, but for ours also. "It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Why is it important? Martin Luther, one of the guys from the 1500s that helped reform the church, said justification is the article of a standing or falling church, because it will shape and change all that you do, whether you have this right or not. When we're justified, we have a new status, which means we live a new life. We don't continue on in rebellion against God. When you become part of a family, what do? Live as part of the family, which is holy and righteous and like Christ. But when I live and try and do that, I fail at it. And I feel rotten about it. And I get driving the car and go, "How could you put up with me any further?" I failed again and again and again. Romans chapter 8 says, relax. You've got the dress on. You've been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. So Romans 8 verse 1 says, therefore there is now no condemnation for those of you who are in Christ Jesus. And yes, we struggle in life. We groan as creation groans in eager expectation of the day when Jesus, the risen ruler of the world, returns to gather his people and judge the world. But we struggle in the sure knowledge that we can speak to God as our Father, because we are his sons, heirs of his kingdom. And our struggle is in the sure knowledge that nothing can separate us from the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. If you ever doubt your worthiness, ever doubt that you could be accepted by God, ever doubt his love for you, return to Jesus Christ, raised from the dead for our justification. There is God acting justly. There is God acting selflessly. There is God acting sacrificially to bring you to glory, to restore you into relationship with him. Our problem, the world's problem, is we've turned from our Creator. And our greatest need, the world's greatest need, is to get right with him. To be justified, to be just if I had never sinned, to be pardoned from sin, and to have the status of son. It's not a sexist term. It means you're one of Jesus. It means you inherit the kingdom. Justification is the article on which the church stands or falls, because justification declares the work is done. And that the empty hands held out in front, that have forsaken all else, have trusted in him and have received pardon from sin and a new status with him. Let me lead us in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, We thank you for your precious Son, Jesus. We thank you for his blood shed on the cross. We thank you for his righteousness. We thank you for the reminder from your word that our beauty, our glorious dress is that blood and righteousness. We thank you for the joy that those who have put out those empty hands in faith, that we can lift up our heads, knowing that none can condemn us, because through Christ we've been fully absolved from sin and fear, from guilt and shame. And dear God, we thank you that this robe, it doesn't fade, it doesn't change. We thank you that the robe of Christ is ever new. Father, help us to look forward to the day when we arise, to claim our home that you've prepared for us beyond the skies. Help us to remember, help us to know that our only plea is that Jesus died and lives for me. Father, for those who don't know that new life, who haven't put their hands out in faith, those empty hands, help them to hear your voice. Help them to see the beauty of the glorious dress of Christ, of his blood and righteousness. Help them to stretch out their hands, not with what they bear, but to receive what you've given in the Lord Jesus. Help us to cling to his cross now and always. Amen.